Who was here this morning? It was only the band and projector. Good stuff. Because Dean's asked me to, or he advised me to share the same message the morning and evening. So I'm especially glad for those that it's here the second time, because I learn by repetition. So maybe Willem, you know, after tonight, you know, you'll be ready. Just something about myself. Janae, if you could just put your hand up. That's my wife there. Just to give you some background, we've been married 3.5 years. And yeah, 3.5. I was just now, you know, the years go fast, eh? Because I was now thinking, was it now 2.5 or 3.5? And just something about us. I mean, we both come from Wellington. Platteland, like Afrikaans, ne? Is there even someone here that doesn't understand Afrikaans? One. Yeah. Most definitely. Now, Afrikaans boykie. I come from Wellington, and you know, the Lord works in amazing ways, because I'm now a pastor in Cape Town, you believe it. And I speak the language there, I must. I mean, half of our church. Very delicious. I mean, yeah, you won't believe it. You know, some of the people, we've got a new bunch of people in our church from Durban, and the Lord is doing amazing work. Those Afrikaners, they can't speak Afrikaans. You won't believe it. From Durban, it's like they refuse to speak Afrikaans. I mean, you ask them simple things like, kan jy een sitplek opskuif? And like, what? Like, come on, you live in South Africa, just a bit of Afrikaans. Anyway, so we speak English there. And then after I finished matric in Wellington, and then I went to Stellenbosch, met the Lord as I was exiting school in my final year, got baptized the day I went to the show for first year's camp. So I got a bit of a head start there in Wellington. There's an amazing church there, and they did awesome work with a few of us, and got us saved and baptized and spirit-filled. So when I went to Stellenbosch, first year, I was running in their full pace. I did the foundations, all of them in 4 weeks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I didn't worry about all the different things that first year students were supposed to do. I just said, sorry, I've got church stuff. And everyone said, okay, church stuff. Any case. So, and I did it. And yeah, the Lord is just so amazing. I mean, he sent me now to work in Cape Town with my wife, and we love it. Then my wife and I actually went out while we were in school for 3 years. Didn't know the Lord. Yeah. Got saved. We broke up because God had to do a work. We didn't knew we were going to get together again. 4 years after that, I was a different person. She was a different person. We pursued a relationship again. 2 years after that, we got married. And now we know that the Lord has a better way than what this world has got to offer. I mean, this is not the sermon, but just so you know us a bit better. I mean, I had everything when I was in school. You know, I did exceptionally well in different kind of sports. I did good at academics. I had the most beautiful girl in school. But you know, life is empty without the Lord, eh? So today I can say my Redeemer lives. And if I can go back, I would just give my life to the Lord earlier. That's the only thing I would change. So yeah, that's something about us. And it's awesome to be with you. I just want to give you some feedback on this message. About a month ago, a few people at our church felt that we really want to wash each other's feet at church. But we wanted to go big with it. So we've got this extra hall. And we had a lot of water in there. There was a bunch of guys. I still call them the water boys. They ran with big buckets of water. And every single one in the whole, in our church, they washed someone's feet. And someone washed their feet. And for us, it was just a massive prophetic enactment of saying we are here to serve one another. And it's just amazing what it did to our church. It really brought us together. I can really and truly and honestly say we are family in Cape Town. Cape Town is a hostile place, eh? I mean, there it's every man for himself. I mean, everything goes there to start off with. You'll get I think you get every religion that you possibly can get in South Africa within 1 kilometer radius. The city ball. It is scary. I mean, you see two men walking together, kissing each other, two women. You see, you know, there's just everything goes. But when you walk into our church, you know there's something different there. You know, the presence of the God is in the same as this place. I mean, look at where it's situated. I love it because we're here to shine a light. Amen. Anyway, so that evening I was supposed to do the sermon before we did the washing of the feet, and I had a different sermon prepared. And then Tian said on Thursday, no, I want you to preach and teach on the section of scripture that speaks about the washing of the feet. I'm like, okay, you tell me now. It's Thursday afternoon, and for those who know, the office is open from Monday to Thursday. We try and do our sermons on Thursday. So as I like put my one foot out the door to go home, he says, no, I want you to preach your sermon on that scripture. I'm like, okay, there goes my weekend, but I'll do it. I'll obey. He's my senior. And yeah, and I just dug into that piece of scripture, and the Lord just opened it to me in so many ways. And I felt it. I really want to share it with you in Tableview. You're a growing church. You're still small, and the relationships in this church is of extreme importance. You know, if you get it, you get it right, this place is going to explode. And if a relationship suffers, the church will grow because God is good, but it will grow so much slower. So I really hope that this message falls squarely on every heart and that it blesses you tonight. Amen. I just want us to wake up. So can we just stand up and pray, and then we can sit down again? Cool. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome evening. Right now we give you our hearts. We present our hearts to you. Come and do a mighty work. Lord, thank you for the people in this room, the relationships, bless it. And Lord, may the relationships in this church flourish. Amen. Right, so please follow with me as I'm going to dive into this scripture as fast as I can. But what we're going to do is we're going to, first before we start talking about it, we're actually going to read quite a bit of scripture, 17 verses. But what I want you to do is to really see this event play off. Okay, Christ, his disciples, they're having their little meal, sharing. It's very intimate. They're sitting close to each other. I can imagine candlelight, no Eskom back then, no load shedding, just some candles and food. And that's setting the stage for us. Now, please follow as we make our way through this scripture. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to be with the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. Interesting piece of scripture there. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And then the last scripture, I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. Okay, quite a mouthful there. Now, what I want to do tonight is I want to really pull the situation apart for us, and I want to see you that I want you to see that I'm going to take key principles out of it that you can apply to yourself, and the moment you apply it to yourself, it automatically gets applied to the person next to you. Okay? So really open your heart for surgery tonight. Amen? Okay, just tap someone next to you and say, surgery tonight. But don't worry, you don't have to pay. It's for free, all right? It's no medical aid and stuff like that. Now, I've been trying to explain this in different ways, but the word I used this morning is a bomb. For me, this piece of scripture is like a bomb because the theology just explodes out of it in different directions. You'll see now. And what Jesus actually does here, it's amazing. I mean, obviously, he knows what's going on. And he sees this whole thing plays off, and the words he used and all the role players that comes into this little room to teach us something is just fascinating. So please bear with me. I'm going to do it in a three-dimensional fashion. We're going to have three layers almost of theology coming together. The first part is the water. Okay, we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to speak on the water. Then on top of that, we're going to place the people. Okay, especially Peter and Judas. On top of that, we're going to place Christ. We're going to look into each of those areas, and I want you to see how it comes together. Okay, are you with me? Seatbelt on. Now, the first dimension, the water. Okay, I'm just referring back to that scripture, chapter 13, verse 8. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If I do not wash you, you have no share in me. Now, if we look at mankind, we see that God has committed a lot of things to us. From the start, he says, rule and reign in the garden. Right? Be fruitful. Multiply. Reign over the animals. Reign over the earth. Be stewards. Today, if we look just out of the window, we see amazing buildings. We see we can do amazing things. I mean, engineers, the stuff they come up with, it's fascinating. The other side, you've got people like accountants and guys like Willem that's extremely smart in putting businesses together, analyzing, seeing what's happening. You've got creative people. I don't know all of you, but like my wife, she can make anything look pretty. She can make something out of nothing. And we are extremely skillful as people. Would you agree with me? I mean, you've got your own talents and I've got mine. But you know, there's one thing that you cannot do for yourself. And there's one thing that no other human can do for you. And that is the fact that you cannot remove sin out of your own life. You can do nothing about that. Nothing. You can stand on your head for 10 minutes if you want to. You still have sin. You can run across the wall of China on some other life expedition, you'll still have sin. You can go and swim 2 kilometers in the ice and everyone will come with their cameras and put you on Discovery Channel and you'll be the man, you'll still have sin. If Christ does not come and wash me and wash you, your sin remains a part of you. You can meditate on a hill somewhere there in I don't even know where. I don't care. Wellington. Your sin will remain. Do you agree with me? Christ is putting the first chip in there. He's saying the washing of the feet, this symbol, it's only a symbol, right? I mean, if you wash someone's feet outside, it doesn't mean zilts. But it could mean something, but not necessarily doesn't mean something, right? If you take part in a symbol, it does not automatically mean that you possess the thing that symbol presents. You agree with me? I mean, you can get baptized for crying out loud, and you can still be unsaved. Agree? But you can get baptized, and wow, it can mean the world to you. You agree with me? Christ is saying, first up to Peter, what I'm going to do here, this washing of the feet, this basin, one thing it means is that I am the only one that take away the sins of the world. And if I don't do that kind of washing to you, now Christ is speaking about born again, but he's expressing it in washing of feet, but he's saying, if I do not wash you, you've got no part in me. Christians cannot dodge that. Of course, that's why we're here. Okay, we took our little roads around life. Okay, some of us have very sad stories. Am I right? Before it turns into a God story, we realize, hey, I walked my walk, didn't work out. You realize Christ is the only one that could wash you. Something only Jesus can do. Very simply, the first dimension, the water. The next slide there, please. The washing is like when we get saved. Very simple. Not rocket science. Amen? First thing. Now it gets interesting. This is where I thought, because that part I could still figure out by myself. And then as I studied the scripture, more things comes up. Check this out. Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share of me." Simon Peter says, "Lord, not my feet only." Okay, now he's changed his mind now. You see that? Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And then Jesus says, it's a fascinating scripture. The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, Peter, but not every one of you. Okay. Who've read the scripture before and thought, what is Jesus talking about? What does it mean? The one who has bathed does not need to wash. Duh. I mean, who takes a shower? Okay. Who takes a shower, puts on the kettle, and then goes for a bath? Huh? I mean, it's insanity. But Christ is speaking in a deeper sense. He is actually enjoying this moment. Okay. Because he's teaching them. He's still speaking on the washing of the feet, but now he takes a different meaning out of the same symbol. He's speaking to Peter and he says, number one, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Peter swings the pendulum to the other side. He says, Lord, not only my feet, but also my head and my hands. And then Christ says something significant. He says, if I have washed you, if you are born again, who's born again in this place? Okay? Right, now, that's all of us. If you are born again and you sin again, you go to work, you forget about God, you make a few horrible decisions, what happens? You feel far from God. Amen? You pray like, God won't listen to me in any case. You read the word, you're like, man, this week the Bible is like it's not alive in my life. You feel far from God, you condemn yourself. You actually feel that you're not in a good spot. Christ is saying, when you come to Him, it's not like you get born again. All right? You are born again. You walk out in the world. You make mistakes. It's like there's dirt on your feet. And all He's going to do is just going to wash your feet. Okay? He gives you a clear conscience again. He washes your sins away. And He reconciles with you. But it's not like you get born again. Okay? So the blessing of being a child of God is that every time when we ask for forgiveness, God will come faithfully and wash our feet. That is the blessing. But, one slide back please. God says, you are already clean, but not all of you. But because you are saved, and even you gather dust on your feet, okay, you make mistakes. You with me? Christ does not take back His calling every time you sin. Now Willem repents, okay, now you can speak in tongues again. Now Willem sins, oops, now you can't speak in tongues again. He's got a calling in his life and he can walk in his calling. God understands that there's grace on him. He is washed. He is clean. Make sure that you take advantage of the privilege that we have of coming before God every day and say, oh Lord, just make me clean. Just wash me clean again. It's got nothing to do with your salvation. You are clean. And your gifts will remain with you. But allow the King of Kings to wash you. Two things the water speaks of. Firstly, it speaks of the once and for all wash that God wants to give everyone. Be saved. And it also speaks, the same washing, of just God coming and refreshing a believer. Repentance is refreshing. Do you know what I'm talking about? To repent. We never want to repent. Okay, but when we repent, it's like, oh man, my shoulders. It feels so light. I can do this. And God is telling Peter right there, you are actually a son. Okay. Are you with me? Amen. The water speaks of two important things. Right, we are going to the second dimension. Now, we spoke about the water, but now look at the role players here. And Christ is just masterly putting this whole evening together. Now, first, when Christ took his little basin and he came to Peter, Peter says, Lord, do you wash my feet? Okay? I would say that's a humble gesture. Come on, Lord. Come on. You must be kidding. Look at my feet. Got skewed toes and dirty toenails. You are the King. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I should be washing your feet. Okay? Are you with me? I would say that's just a humble man. He knows who's King in this relationship. It's Christ. Jesus answers him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. That's the important part. But afterward, you will understand. Okay? One scripture on. Peter comes again. He's a stiff-necked, this boy. You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. That second resisting of Peter against Christ, okay? This is now not humility anymore. This is what you call being stiff-necked. All right? Now, the implication for us in this setting is simple. When Christ wants to do something in my life or in your life, and we do not understand it fully, it will be very stupid of us to say, no, Lord, come on, pass me by. What if God has got a massive blessing for your life, and you can't see it, but He can, and He offers it, and you say, because I don't understand. No thanks. Okay? Because that's exactly what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, God, I am smarter than you. Peter is saying, Christ, my thoughts are higher than yours. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. You will never wash my feet. But Jesus is slow to anger and rich in love, and he explains to him, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. Wake up. Oh, and then he gets it. Okay? Now, the implication for us is it's actually straightforward, but if you think about it, we don't entertain this thought a lot, okay? It's important for us to recognize every now and then that we are operating under darkness. We do not see everything as God sees it. What does the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love at the end? It says, for now we see in a mirror them. But then when he comes, we will see clearly. We are still in the dim period. We don't see things clearly. So it will be very smart for me and for all of us to realize that God is smart and there's times when we will not understand. Go with it. Go with God. Trust him. Let him wash your feet even though you're doing a skiff. Okay? Let him do a work. If he's speaking to you, and I also said this morning, don't be stupid. Let me just use the same example because my head is a bit fried. If you now dream about a little dog, don't go and buy a dog, please. That doesn't mean God says buy a dog, okay? And because remember, my wife bought two bunnies for us, okay? They are doing their little bunny poops, okay? All over our house, okay? There's consequences to decisions as well, so be smart, okay? But God is just, he's amazing. I mean, he puts you within these marvelous people. They're your friends. They love you. They care for you. If you feel God is speaking to you, I've got a big decision I have to make in the next one or two weeks. I've already phoned two friends. I said, listen, guys, you need to pray with me. There's actually three options. I need to know from you, what do you think? One, two, or three. You know me. Pray with me. I want us to come into line. And then, when there's agreement, whether I fully understand or not, I think I must run with it. Okay? And take the same liberty. I mean, go to your small group. Go to your friends and say, listen, I think there's like a tear unslating in my life. I need to go right or left. Now, let's talk about this. Because if I go straight, I'm going to go in the bushes. Okay? And then go with it. Amen? Thank you, Peter, for making mistakes so that we can learn. Peter wakes up. Now, Jesus' statement just shocks Peter, and he's like, eh. But before we get there, the first point, the first lesson we learn from Peter, he's just like us, just for, if some of you has been sleeping, okay? That's me right there, okay? Obey God and trust Him even when you are not fully enlightened. Because what I am doing now, you do not understand now. But afterward, you will. I mean, let's just take this example. When Janae and I broke up in our first year when we got saved, there was tears, okay? I also cried, okay. But there was fighting, how can you do this, what's going on? But actually we both knew that God wanted us apart. Now we understand. 4 years later, when I meet her, I'm like, whoa, 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 this is a different woman. She's so much better. I mean, she's grounded in Christ. Look at her. She's bearing all this fruit. Now, she's not the chick I just want to hang with. She's a woman I want to marry. God knows better. Luckily, by His grace, we went with it. Okay? And I somehow want to throw it out for free. Yeah, I actually said it in church as well. Ladies that's single. Okay? If a guy does not serve God, stay away. Stay away. Don't start with those reasoning in your head. You don't understand why God wants you to stay away, but there's good reasons. Stay away. I actually joke to the girls in our church and I say, stay single until you die, if you must. Because such a marriage will kill you. Okay? If you don't understand, go with God. Amen. Can I get an amen? Cool. Peter responds, next slide there, after Christ is very straight with him and he says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Very, very, very simple. Lord, forgive me for speaking such a hasty word. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm stiff-necked. I'm arrogant. Forgive me. How quickly did Peter repent? And that is the next lesson for us. If we can be a people who is quick to repent, we will make it. Repentance brings us back to the washing of the feet. Every time I repent, Christ, in one sense, washes my feet again. The King of Kings come bow low and to clean me. Because He's a servant, okay? So that's point two. Spirit-filled Christians is ready to repent. They know that a man can see nothing compared to God. Amen? Is this helping some people here? Two points from Peter. Just shake someone next to you and say, are you enjoying the heart surgery? If you fall asleep, we leave you in here, hey? Lock this place. Now, this is my favorite part, just because it shocked me as I was studying it. It's interesting how we can read the Bible, but we can also read the Bible. Right? Sometimes it's good just to read the Bible, to just wash yourself with it, just get the stuff in you. But if you really read it slow, I mean, just look at this next scripture. Now we're going to Judas. We're still with the people, okay? We spoke about Peter, now we're speaking about Judas. Check it out. John chapter 13 verse 27, then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do it quickly. Now, Now, you still have the movie in your head. You see the room there, right? There is Jesus, man. He's sitting there. And there's the disciples. They're eating together. In fact, Jesus are so close to Judas, they are touching one another. Because remember what they did is they put the same hand in the dip, right? So they are, just put your hand out, they are at least so far away from each other. But I don't think they have bad manners. They will eat like this. So let's say they're there, right? They are close to one another. And the devil enters him while Jesus is here. Just think about our theology going out the door there. You know, people have all, I almost use a word in English that I'm not supposed to use. But all these nonsense of holy water and stuff that will clean a place, and then one guy's got an anointing, so and then he picks up the anointing, and oh, it's rubbish. And then at the end of the day, Jesus sits right here and Satan enters a man. Level the playing field right there. Can you believe it? Read the book of Revelations and see, even when Jesus rules and reigns, he can be in the room and people will forsake him and deny him. Okay? The lesson is just that the heart of man is so far from God. If it is not for the grace of God, we will not be here. And that's why the Bible speaks of the joy of your salvation. I don't believe that someone can be really saved and walk like this. Yeah, I'm so happy. No. Then you don't understand what you're saved from. Okay? Because Judas was there. He saw Jesus washing feet. I mean, he saw Jesus do miracles. And still, Satan entered his heart. Now, I think the question more is, how do I stay away from that situation? Okay, that's the question. One slide back, please. And that's just the answer. Lessons from Peter. Obey God and trust Him even when you are not fully enlightened. Trust Him. But even if you make mistakes, why spiritual Christians is ready to repent? God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. A humble heart, a heart that is bowed low before God in a servant manner, it's very hard to fall because you're so low. It's so hard to be deceived because you're actually before God continuously repenting. And I actually said it in our church. You know that people that puts up mics and do project their servants, you know that, they're humble people. I can't recall in the 2.5 years that I'm at Shofar Gardens, one person that has been serving that went through a time of deception, a rough time where God is now mad at them or they don't understand God. Because I just find those who are serving is in such a good position. They just, their heart is so right before God. It's like there's a special safety for them. And it just goes to me with that. A readiness to repent. A loneliness of heart. Amen? Let's take these lessons from Peter. Let's take it. And let's not be like Judas. But you know what? God's grace is bigger than us. Okay? So don't worry. Don't worry. If you are here tonight, if you can say Jesus is Lord, and I'm willing to give my life to Him, you, Bible says, and you are speaking by the Holy Spirit. Okay, you are a good place. Amen? Right. And you are planted in this house. And you are under the protection and the covering of the Shofar body. And God has given Pastor Tiens you, as long as you are here in fellowship, you will be fine. Okay. Right. Third dimension. Last one. Let's talk about Jesus. Is there some of you that also agrees with me that there's more to this scripture than what you thought? Amazing, eh? It just comes at me from different directions. Like a big guy fox. Right. John 13, chapter 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Now, where did Jesus come from? comes from heaven. Where is Jesus going? Heaven. Where are you going? Heaven. Yes. Yes, you are. Okay. Your destination and Christ's destination is the same. Amen. Yes, his position is different, but your position and my position and your position, we all have different places in the kingdom of God, but we're all going to the same place. Right. Jesus, knowing that he is higher than any other being in the universe. I mean, he's got his heel on Satan's head. Okay? There's nothing above him. So he is the man with the big business. Do you agree with me? He knows where he's going. It's heaven. Right? What does he do? Knowing that. He takes off his clothes. That makes it difficult for him to bend. He puts a towel around him and he starts to serve. Christians who are assured of their salvation. Okay? Those who walk in a relationship with God that knows that they are going to God, that's not afraid of death, that know their destination, such Christians, okay, will serve. That's what they will do. In this life, they will serve. Christ didn't need to make a big name for himself on this earth, because this is not his final destination. It's heaven. So he did on this earth the best thing he could do, the most amazing thing, and that is serve. And you find that in Christians as well. People who have no eternal hope, what will they do in this world? Come on, help me. What do you, Willem, you were here. What will they do in this world? They will gather things. They will serve themselves. They will go for the highest power position they can be in. They will force their power on other people. They will say, I will not wash your feet. At least Peter was a humble man. He was club de revent, but he was a bit deceived. But at least he was humble. When there's an assurance of salvation in the heart of a Christian, they will serve. It takes long-term vision to be a servant. Short-term vision says, I must take out of this world what I can take out of it while I'm here. I don't know how long my life will be. Other type of people, you'd say, yeah, but that person, old Sunny, she doesn't have a lot and she's not saved. And what about her? But Sunny is in depression. Sunny's in depression because she's not in charge of this world. Sunny's in depression because she doesn't have money. Wum Jan is in depression because he's not the richest man. He doesn't have money. And Wum Frick, he's also in depression because he wants to be also. But you see, we're all missing the point. Because if we know where we're going, we don't want money. We don't want to be in position. We rather want to serve. That's why God's people normally have joy and not depression. Have joy and not anxiety. They know where they're going. Yeah, we know where we come from. A rubbish place. But I mean, the joy that is set before us inspires us to worship, inspires us to serve just like Christ. Amen? Can you see why this is important for this church, for the fellowship? If we are here to take, this congregation will grow slowly. If we are here to give, this congregation might just explode, because it's very rare in this world. Okay. A well-grounded assurance of salvation and God and heaven will not produce a puffed-up man, but a servant in heart. Okay, there's your point one. Okay, are you with me? Lessons from Jesus. I want to say with that, let me ask you this. Let me just prove this point. Let's just glory in God who's smart. Who was the richest man of the 17th century? Yeah, I thought so. Who was the richest man of the 18th century? Yeah, I thought so. You know what? We don't care. Because it's 200 years back, you know. Who cares? But back then, that man was the main man. But today we still know who Jesus is. We still know who Peter is. We know who Paul is. They were the servants. We know Mother Teresa. I don't even know if she owned a car. But we know they are, because they are the servants of this world. But the application for me and for all of us, take it to yourself. Take it into your own seat where you're sitting. For me, this means that there is no, let's say this church, no function in this church that I am too good to perform. Because if Christ washed stinky athletes' feet, then I can carry a blooming chair. Okay? There is no congregation that is too little for me to go and preach at. Okay? There's no place in Africa that I can say, oh, I don't go there. Because if I'm like Christ, I would say, I'm willing to serve. I know when I'm saying this, God's going to hold me accountable, so I'm going to stop my words now. But I think you get what I'm saying. You know, sometimes in the kingdom, stuff needs to be done. If we've got this mindset, hey, I'll do anything to see God's kingdom come, bam, things will happen. Okay. Right, next, just hold on there for a second. Yeah, next slide. It's almost done. Are you still enjoying it? Cool. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart. Now, the biblical smart people, commentators, they suggest that this meal was just before the whole Garden of Gethsemane took place. Okay, so it was quite close to Christ being abducted. And knowing that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, loved in this world, he loved them to the end. Now, Christ knew that this was his final breath. Okay, if you're a 400-meter athlete, it's that last 10 meters you are burning. He knew this is it. We've come to that. If you're like a pregnant woman, like, you know, like today is the day. Because, I mean, if this baby grows one more inch in my tummy, I won't be able to stand up. You know, the day is there. The hour has come, okay? And Christ was there. He knew it was his final, let's call it, day. And what did he do? Chose to serve, right? Now, if we take that to us, right? Firstly, we said Christ was the most powerful person and he knew where he was going, yet he served. All right? And we said, okay, so there's nothing I cannot do because Christ is higher than me. So I will serve. Now we're saying, knowing that it's last hour, it's speaking of precious time, little time left. What did he do? He still served. Right? If you apply it to yourself, you'll have to say, I do not know when I will die. Right? Unless you know something I don't know. Okay? I don't know my last hour. Amen? I don't know my last that week. You know, I can die when I walk out of this door. Maybe I've got another 80 years left to me. I don't know. Oh, then I'll be 108. Oh, that's pushing it a bit. But I don't know. Right? But I suggest the following. Wanting to be like Christ. But I don't know when my hour is. You don't know. I suggest we get ourselves in a lifestyle of serving. So that when our day comes, we spend our life doing what Christ did with his last hour. And we can start today. A lifestyle of serving. What does serving mean? You'll have to think for yourself. You know what God is speaking to you about. I said this morning as well, I don't mean packing chairs. That this includes it, okay? This is serving. Film what you guys did, this is serving. It includes it. It's not only that. You know what that means. A lifestyle of serving will make us as Christ-like as we can be, and we will be found doing what Jesus did in his last hour. Amen? Washing the sins of other people in this world, leading them to Christ, testifying, giving good work at work, and then a testimony somehow with it. You know, serving mankind. And not ourselves. So Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That slide. Number 26. There we go. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done. I made a list because that night actually at our church we did the washing of the feet and some people were stressing a bit. They're like, ooh, I don't want people to see my feet. Other people probably didn't want to touch the feet. But so I knew that I had to give some extra motivation there. And I did. And everyone got their feet washed and it was the most amazing evening. But let's go to the last slide. This is my summary, and this is not scripture, but no, one slide back. There we go. I think when I wash Willem's feet, it automatically imparts humility into my life because I'm enacting it. Okay? I'm doing something, right? Like the baptism. You didn't get saved when you got baptized, but you revisit it because you're saying, listen, let's celebrate this moment. Let's enact it. And when I wash Willem's feet, humility will get imparted into me. But you know what? Humility will also get imparted into him. Just think about it for 1 second. There you are sitting on your little chair. And there's your friend or your wife on their knees washing your feet. It is extremely humbling. Isn't that true? And you say to him, man, I knew this was a good friend, but this is more than like a lekker. This is a friendship. So it imparts humility into the person that's actually receiving the washing as well. Amen? While your feet are being washed, or while you wash, especially now that you know that we did this sermon, you will remember, wow, this is like when Christ washed me, man. This is amazing. I mean, my life was at a stage dirty, and now it's clean because Christ did a work and no other man could do it. You know, I like making this joke, and I said it at our church as well. I said, something deeper happens between a friendship when we serve one another. And, you know, it's, and I said, you know what, you think you've got a friend and you play touchies together and it's great stuff and you've got all these high fives and stuff. But what happens when you go through a tough time? Where's your high five buddy? He's out the back door. He doesn't care about you because he must go play the next touchy game while you're at home sick or going through a tough time. But if we engage in this type of serving friendship, we are building for ourselves friends for life. And when a congregation comes together with a heart of humility, only God can know the amazing things that can happen through people such as this. So, yeah, maybe it's something you can suggest to Tiens. I didn't tell him what I'm going to minister here to. But it was amazing for us. I mean, the first when I heard it, being a man, I thought, washing of the feet. Can't we go and eat rovers or something, you know? Watch rugby, watch me watch feet. But when I walked into that hall and I saw like the half of the church on their knees serving and the other half just sitting like this, not knowing what goes on. And then people would go to other people and say, and they've already had their feet washed, and they would say, can I wash your feet, please? Because they want to honor you. Are you so sure? You sit down for 10 seconds and I wash your feet, and you'll see people running around, can I wash your feet? And it was just amazing. In our midst, the Holy Spirit was really moving in our hearts. So to us, it was precious. So let's stand tonight and let's just allow the Lord to just finish this message in our hearts. Can I ask, I'm just going to allow 2 or 3 minutes of silence. And I'm just going to trust the Lord to do the scripture in every heart. I'm just going to trust Him to do it. Okay, if you want to, you can maybe softly pray in the Spirit, or if you want to, you can just be still. But now let's just give the Lord a chance. Father, you say in your word that there's one who plants and there's one who waters, and they are in unity, yes, but they cannot produce the growth, Lord. It's only you that can cause a heart to change, to grow. Lord, it's only you that has the privilege, Lord, or the right given by the Father to take an unwashed heart and wash it clean. And Lord, if I read scripture, Lord, I understand it's your privilege to wash us daily. It's your privilege. You say, come to me, you who are heavy laden. Come to me and I will give you rest. Father, and then you say in your word, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, and we just acknowledge that tonight we can stand on our heads and we can do whatever we want, but there's certain things in our hearts that only you can do. And Father, our prayer is, do it tonight. Do it tonight in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. You are just so faithful and amazing. And just in the moment, in the Spirit, just binding this church together, Lord, just forming cords that cannot be broken, Lord. And the value, Lord, is the love of Christ, Lord. It's a gel that brings this whole church together, Lord. Not the love of man, not to come together, not to social, but the love of Christ, Lord. And then there's just all these amazing fruits, Lord, that comes up from that, Lord. But that is what keeps this church together, the love of Christ. Binds them together. We praise you, Lord, for doing a mighty work. And Lord, even in the Spirit, Lord, I declare that this word of unity and service, Lord, will go out in the Spirit and be with this church, Lord, forever as this church grow into hundreds and by your will into thousands one day, that this church will stay and remain a humble mankind serving church, following the example of Christ. Lord, I just think of that expression that says, Beigie boompie terwyl hy nog jonk is. And Lord, this church is still young. But tonight we receive this servant kind of leadership into this church like Jesus did. The one who could have stood up and the light could shine on him, and at least the disciples could bow to him and say, oh, you're so glorious. But that's not what happened, Lord. You served. And I leave this blessing in this church, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to ask you if you want prayer. There's some facilitators here. Come and ask, pray. If you want to sit with someone next to you and pray through, do it. I'm not going to do an altar call. You guys know each other. Maybe if there's someone new here and you're a member here, just chat to them, catch up, get their details. It was lovely being here. I love this church. You guys have got something special going here. Yeah, and feel free if you want to ask me any questions. I don't know if I've got the answer, but you're welcome to ask. Amen. Enjoy the coffee. You don't have to drink as fast as in the morning, okay?